All right, before we begin this lesson, let's take time to confess our sins so that we will be in fellowship and will be able to absorb the things that we will go over in this very important lesson. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we are able to confess our sins and know that you have forgiven us for anything that we've done wrong, and we know that it doesn't take much to put us out of fellowship. So we thank you for this technique. Now we ask that you would help us understand as we discover and explore further the concept of prayer and see how confession relates directly to our prayer life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is lesson 39, Confession Awakens Prayer. Confession of our sins puts us back in fellowship. Of course, sin has put us out. But we understand this concept now. But we want to quickly review the technique and show its significance in our prayer life. We recall that 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confession brings forgiveness. We see this again in Psalm 32, 3-5, where David says the following, When I kept silence, meaning did not confess, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. In 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul told young pastor Timothy, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul can pray for Timothy effectively because Paul's conscience is clear, meaning all his sins have been confessed and forgiven. We see this principle again in Isaiah 6, 1-8, where Isaiah's prayer of confession results in forgiveness, restoration, and return to service. Now, we're not going to go through that entire passage. We're just going to quote the heart of it, which is verses 5 through 7. And here's what those verses say. Woe to me, I cried out. I am a man of unclean lips, and I will live, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Once again, confession brings forgiveness, and forgiveness restores fellowship. Fellowship, in turn, is a condition for praying effectively. 1 Samuel 12:10 shows the correct sequence, which is, first of all, confession, and then secondly, prayer. This verse says, They cried out to the Lord and said, We have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. Confess and then pray, you see. That is the winning combination. It gets results. And we see this in the result in verse 11. He delivered you from the hands of your enemies on every side so that you lived securely. So obviously, once the confession is made and the prayer is made, then you can see results within, of course, the scope of God's will. All right, the sinful nature and the Holy Spirit cannot control the same space. And if we are not in fellowship, that means we are controlled not by the Holy Spirit, but by the flesh. If we are controlled by the flesh or the sinful nature, there is no way our prayers are going to be heard. And we can't possibly pray in faith or according to God's will. On the other hand, if the Holy Spirit is in charge, our prayers will be heard and answered. We see this illustrated in Psalm 91, 14 through 16. Now, mention briefly that the Holy Spirit dealt differently with believers in the Old Testament. And so it's not talking so much about the filling of the Spirit as we talk about it now in the church age. But we'll talk about that later on. Right now, it's illustrating the concept of confession and forgiveness. All right, here's what Psalm 91, 14 and 16 says. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my deliverance. Sometimes translated as salvation, but it's deliverance. Once again, that's another story, and we'll talk about that at a later time. All right, loving God is an outcome of fellowship. So when this passage says, when we love him, he will honor us and answer us and take us out of the place of trouble, this means that this is the result of our being in fellowship. This is the outcome of fellowship. Honor, of course, has spiritual implications, these things that he does for us, but it can be rendered in other forms, as we will see later on. When we walk away from God to sin and forget or refuse to confess, our prayers will evaporate before they reach the ceiling. Occasions for this can be seen in a number of places in Scripture. One example emerges from Isaiah 1, 15 and 16, where God speaks to Isaiah concerning the Israelites, saying this, "When you Israelites spread your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean." This is, once again, in principle, confession of our sins, which then qualifies us to pray and to be heard. We will see more about this in the next lesson, but we must be clear. To be heard, we must be clean or have all sins forgiven. Jesus said this about being clean. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." That's in Matthew 23, 25, and 26. When we confess, our hearts are cleansed. The control of the Holy Spirit resumes, and our prayers are heard. Righteousness comes from being clean and is an outcome of fellowship. This is why the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's in James 5, 16. You see that same idea in 1 Peter 3:12. If we're going to be effective in prayer, we must be righteous, which is the result of forgiveness. When we're forgiven, we're righteous in our Christian experience. As for experiential righteousness or behavioral correctness, that can happen too. And we'll be talking about that in an upcoming study. And so this is where we are headed. We can be righteous in our actions and attitudes as a result of our being clean through forgiveness. That will all become very clear as we go further into other lessons. All right, some questions. Number one, confession brings blank. Number two, why was Paul's conscience clear when he prayed for Timothy. And number three, if God hides his eyes from us and will not listen to us, what do we need to do to change that? All right, some scriptures. 1 Kings 8:33-34. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to their fathers. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Ephesians 5:14. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So please remember, if we are out of fellowship, our prayers will not be heard. We'll see more about that in the next lesson. The solution for this, the way to open up the prayer lines, is confession of our sins. To pray without ceasing, therefore, we must also confess without ceasing. Father, help us to take this lesson to heart. Help us to remember before we pray. Help us to remember to confess. Help us to understand that the need for confession is constant, because it is so easy for us to slip and to sin. Help this become clear to us and help us enter a practice of continually confessing our sins. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.